Thank you for joining me for worship today. Today is the seventh Sunday after Pentecost. Our order of service is in the bulletin. We're going to begin with hymn number 729, Son of God, Eternal Savior, 492 in the Red Book. Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
We have come into the presence of God who created us to love and serve him as his dear children. But we have disobeyed him and deserve only his wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to him and plead for his mercy. Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt. God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven all your sins by the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has removed your guilt forever. You are his own dear child. May God give you strength to live according to his will. Amen. In the peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed are they take refuge. virgin him. Your word, O Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. Your faithfulness continues forever. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed are they who take refuge in him. Our Old Testament reading for this seventh Sunday of Pentecost is from Isaiah 66, verses 10 to 14. Isaiah here says that God will bless Jerusalem and add people from all nations into Jerusalem, thinking of Jerusalem there as the church of God. Isaiah said, "Rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad for her, all you who love her. Rejoice greatly with her, all you who mourn over her, for you will nurse and be satisfied at her comforting breasts. You will drink deeply and delight in her overflowing abundance. For this is what the Lord says, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the wealth of nations like a flooding stream. You will nurse and be carried on her arm and dandled on her knees. As a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you, and you will be comforted over Jerusalem. When you see this, your heart will rejoice, and you will flourish like grass. The hand of the Lord will be made known to his servants, but his fury will be shown to his foes." Alleluia! Happy are they who hear the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart, and bring forth fruit with patience. Alleluia. Verses 1 to 12 and 16 to 20, where Jesus sends out the 72 to do some pre-evangelism, some mission work. And here he talks about the great harvest of bringing people into his God's believing family. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them out two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals. Do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, 'Peace to this house.' If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. Stay in that house, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick who are there, and tell them, 'The kingdom of God is near you.' But when you enter a town and are not welcomed, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that sticks to our feet, we wipe off against you.' Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God is near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. He who listens to you listens to me, but he who rejects you rejects me. But he who rejects me rejects him who sent me." The 72 returned with joy and said, "Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name." He replied, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have another I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. We'll continue with our next hymn, hymn 746. We're singing verses 1 and then 7 and then 3. It's 562 in the red book, but the red book just has verses 1 and 3 from the blue book. Savior, be with us always. Amen. The Word of God we want to consider this seventh Sunday of Pentecost is our epistle reading from Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 to 10 and 14 to 16, where Paul says, "Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else. For each one should carry his own load. Anyone who receives instruction in the word must share all good things with his instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is a new creation. Peace and mercy to all who follow this rule, even to the Israel of God. Let's bow our heads for prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, who art our strength and our salvation. Amen. My dear fellow Christians who have been freed from the slavery to sin, Christian philanthropist Fred Smith tells the story about how his daughter Brenda and her husband Rick, how they one time befriended an ex-convict and the woman with whom he was living. The husband, Rick, hired the ex-convict to a job, gave him a job. Brenda, what she did is she bought the woman all kinds of things, took care of her, helped her to get adjusted to her life. And then what the two of them did together is that they encouraged them to do the right thing and to no longer be living together apart from marriage, but to be married if they were going to continue living together. They found a minister to perform the ceremony, and they even opened their home up as a place for that special wedding occasion. But then just a few days after that, what happened is that Rick got a note from the man telling him that the couple had fled town because they had gotten word that an assassin was out to get them. Later, Fred Smith talked to his daughter and asked her, after she and her husband had invested so much in that couple, if she was down in the dumps because they'd invested so much time and energy and money in that couple, and then they had left so suddenly like that. Well, tears welled up in Brenda's eyes as she said, "No matter where they are or how long they live, they'll always know that somebody cared and they will have heard about Jesus." Brenda and Rick loved selfishly, and for them that was reward enough. Brenda and Rick seemed to be people who were moved by the Lord's love for them and by Paul's encouragement in our reading for today. Let's also respond to God's love for us and to Paul's encouragement by saying, "Let us do good to all people." Let's strive to live our Christianity by not selfishly just thinking about ourselves, but by unselfishly serving one another. Paul wrote this letter to the Galatian congregations because false prophets were teaching that a person is saved, well, because of what Jesus has done, but they also expected people to keep the Old Testament ceremonial laws, which Christ had fulfilled, and so they were no longer necessary. But they made those Old Testament ceremonial laws a condition for salvation. And this confused the Galatian Christians. Paul had taught them that they were saved by grace alone. And these people, these teachers, were saying that grace wasn't enough. Today, we constantly hear a similar false teaching that Jesus did everything for our salvation, but now we have to believe. Whenever anyone says we have to believe, we have to accept Christ as our personal Savior, or we have to open the door of our heart to let Jesus in, isn't he saying ultimately that Jesus didn't do enough to completely take care of our salvation? Let's remember, faith is not something that we do. Faith is a gift from God. It's the Holy Spirit working in our hearts. The false teachers who said you had to keep those Old Testament laws, those false teachers, they led so many people astray. And now, concerning those who were led astray and anyone else who in weakness sins against God, Paul says, brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently, but watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. If we catch someone else in a sin of weakness, it's generally easy for us who have a sinful nature to condemn that person. That's why Paul gives us this warning here. He doesn't want us to look at someone else, anyone else, and say, I'm sure happy that I'm not as bad as that person is. Unfortunately, our sinful pride does want us to think that we're better than others. To be like the Pharisee who said, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men. When someone is sorry for his sin, God wants us to restore him, to forgive and to forget, as if the sins weren't even there in the first place. Paul says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Our Savior doesn't want us to feel too proud to help out others. He wants us to care for and pray for one another. He wants us to offer a helping hand. And when we do that, what we most certainly are not doing is earning our way to heaven. We're doing what Christ wants us to do. We're working at loving our neighbor as we love ourselves. But our sinful pride, our sinful nature, it wants us always to be concerned only about ourselves. But Paul says, if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. If we ever have the tendency to be proud and think, oh, look at me. If we ever have that tendency, reading our Bibles does a good job of restoring our humility. Instead of pride, what Paul tells us here to do is to test our own actions, to see how they measure up to what God wants. And when we do, and if we honestly look at God's law, then we'll see that we've fallen short of the glory of God, and we deserve eternal punishment. Without Christ, we're worth nothing. That's a hard thing to say. But remember, that's without Christ. With Christ, it's a totally different story. With Christ, well, we're the beloved, special children of our Heavenly Father. We're special and precious in His sight. But, well, without God, we're lost, of course. So let's not compare our sinfulness with that of others. We have our own sins to carry. We have enough of our own sins to think about with looking down on others for their sins. Fortunately, though, we have Jesus, and that means we don't have to carry our sins. But there is one kind of pride that we believers can have. Paul says, may I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. We can't boast in ourselves. But we sure can boast in what Christ has done for us. And we can boast about what Christ makes us who were lost but are now found, who were blind but now see. Through Christ, as Paul says here, the world has been crucified to us and we've been crucified to the world. That means that worldly or sinful pleasures and treasures, they don't need to have and shouldn't have that all-important value to us. By faith, we know that heaven is what is most important. That is heaven. That heaven is ours by grace, the love of God that we don't deserve. There is an old fable about this eagle who was envious of another eagle that was able to fly much higher than he was able to. And one day, that envious eagle, he saw a sportsman with a bow and arrow, and he said to the sportsman, "I wish you would bring down that eagle up there." The man said he would if he had some feathers that he could attach to his arrows to help them fly appropriately. And well, the envious eagle, he pulled out one of his feathers and handed it to the sportsman. Sportsman attached it to the arrow and he shot the arrow into the air, but it fell short of the high-flying eagle. The sportsman looked to the eagle again and got another feather and again fell short and did this repeatedly. And the envious eagle ended up pulling out so many feathers that he himself couldn't fly. And then the archer took advantage of that situation and killed the envious eagle, the helpless bird. And now a simple little parable, fable, that teaches us what can happen if we selfishly think of ourselves, especially if we do that at the expense of others. If we selfishly think about ourselves, we'll end up hurting ourselves, perhaps even eternally. We all have that natural tendency to be concerned about ourselves first, then perhaps about others later. But what about our Savior? Why did he live and die? Obviously, he wasn't selfishly thinking about himself. He lived and died for you and for me. So let's follow his selfless or unselfish example. Let's not just live for ourselves, for this present life. May God help us to grow in our faith, so we unselfishly serve one another, Paul said. Anyone who receives instruction in the word must share all good things with his instructor. Oh, let's think of this passage in the broad context. In the narrow context, it's talking about supporting those who would share the gospel with you. In the broader context, all of us are instructed by our congregation. Therefore, Paul says that all of us must share all good things with our church. And God's word says that we're supposed to support our church and the spread of the gospel. Paul really isn't saying here, thou shalt support thy church. Rather, he is saying to us that anyone who is a believer will have an unselfish desire to support his church, not because he has to, not because he feels there's a knife at his throat, but because he wants to. And don't all of us have a desire to have more and more people learn about God's grace and love? Therefore, let's do all we can to support God's work so that the gospel gets out, so that we aren't just thinking about ourselves, but also of those souls who don't yet know of God's great love. Paul warns, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. We can't fool God. That's what Paul wants us to realize. Anyone who rejects and then continues to reject God's grace, he's ultimately going to end up paying for it. If we serve our sinful nature instead of serving God, we can expect consequences. The person, for example, who is gossiping or telling the proverbial little white lie and thinks that doing such things is okay because it doesn't really hurt anyone, isn't he disregarding what God's word says? Isn't he sowing to please his sinful nature? And if he gets branded for being a gossip or gets caught up in the lie he's telling, isn't he reaping what he sows? May God help us rather instead to sow to please the Spirit. So we are always striving to follow God's will. However, let's not just work at doing what God wants because we're afraid of possible punishment. Let's work at doing what God wants. Let's unselfishly serve one another to thank God for what He has done and what He keeps on doing for us. May God help us so that we never grow tired of doing His will. Paul says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. As we have opportunity, those are some important words. No one knows how many opportunities, how many chances we'll have ahead of us yet to serve God and our neighbor. So let's never say that we're too busy to serve our God. Rather, let's unselfishly serve God and others throughout the course of our lives. Paul told the Ephesian Christians, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. God has prepared, only He knows how many opportunities for us to serve Him and to serve one another. And a good question for us to consider is, how many of those opportunities do we let pass by? How many of those opportunities do we take advantage of? In the book, The Fisherman and His Friends, is a story in which a man paused in front of the village doctor's home and asked the small child that was playing there, is your father at home? No, he's away, said the little boy. So the man said, where do you think I could find him? After thinking a little bit, the lad said, you've got to look someplace where people are sick or hurt or something like that. I don't know where he is, but he's probably helping someone somewhere. May God help each of us so that that's also said of us, that as we have the opportunity, we're doing good to all people, not selfishly thinking of ourselves, but unselfishly thinking about others, unselfishly serving one another. We're truly concerned about the physical and the spiritual welfare of others because we know how concerned our Savior is for our physical and spiritual welfare. Think of all the Savior has done. Let's pray. God of all power and might, you are the giver of all that is good. Help us love you with all our heart. Strengthen us in the true faith. Provide us with all we need and keep us safe in your care. We pray through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Lord God, in our prayers, we continue to think of Deb Spitzley dealing with a minor stroke and Christine Dries dealing with shoulder problems and Paula Burris, who had surgery scheduled but has had that postponed because of back problems. And, well, we also think of Linda Hazy and her Parkinson's disease and Diane Kennedy and, well, minor stroke and her Parkinsonism and, well, Roberta Waldron and her minor stroke and well, Colleen Webb and her fall and her blindness and well, we think of everybody in our prayer list and we say, Lord God, please, if it's your will, grant healing, but especially grant strength to all of them so that they can know the strength and the help that they have in Jesus. Help us to look at those who have needs and think about how we can serve them taking care of maybe their physical needs, but especially sharing the love of Christ with them. Help us always to be concerned, well, yes, about our own eternal souls, but also about the eternal souls of everyone around us as well. And thinking of all those eternal souls, we gather up all of their prayers as we join in praying. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. Let's join in singing our prayer for our country. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans white with foam. God bless America, my home, sweet home. God bless America, my home, sweet home. And again, I'd say thank you for joining me for worship today. Just a couple quick announcements. Well, on Monday morning, Ruth is taking the train over to Wisconsin. I'll be following her in my car on Wednesday, and spending a couple days over in Wisconsin. On Friday evening, sometime we will be coming back. Because of that, there's no ladies' Bible class or Wednesday worship this week. Monday is Victoria Carpenter's birthday. Wednesday, Chad Stanley and Vaughn Powers have birthdays. And Saturday, Jackie Johnson has a birthday. Already mentioned in our prayers, some of the specific people on our prayer list. Please remember everyone, and let's all, with God's help, work at doing good to all people, especially to the family of believers, because we know how much our God has done for us. The Lord bless and keep you always.